The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. Our nation needs an awakening where they see their need for Jesus.
Pastor Greg Laurie points out what it takes for that awakening to begin. He says it must begin inside your heart and mind.
Before there can be a spiritual awakening, first there must be a revival in the church. And before there can be revival in the church, there needs to be revival in you and in me. It starts with us, where we're revived, we're brought back to that original, passionate, spiritual state.
This is the day when the lost are
We're glad you're along today for a new beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie. And in just a moment, we'll begin a message looking at the importance of revival in our time. But Pastor Greg, before we get started, let me ask you to help us sort of quiet our hearts. You know, there's so much we worry about in our world right now.
Yeah.
Help us focus where we should.
Yeah, Dave, there's new words that have entered our vocabulary because of COVID-19. Words like pandemic, shelter in place, quarantine. These have not been a part of our vocabulary, but now they are. If you would have told me that markets would be depleted of supplies and that we would be asked to stay at home and that I would be among the most vulnerable because, well, I guess I'm technically elderly. I'm 67 years old. I would have said, oh man, you're like an alarmist or a prepper. But it's happening. It's real. This is a pandemic. And we've got to work together as Americans. The CDC is giving us guidelines that are there for our own protection so we can get through this together. But listen, I want to say something to you. I think you should be practical in observing the guidelines given to you by the Center for Disease Control, like washing your hands, maintaining good distance between people, so we can get over the hump of this thing. But here's what I want to say. Don't worry, but pray. The Bible says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. It doesn't say don't think about these things, but it does say don't worry about them. You know, worry has no value whatsoever. Worry actually will deplete you, not help you. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. So understand, in the message you're going to hear right now, it's a message I gave before all of this happened. So what, there might be references in this message that don't seem to fit in the time we're in right now, but I just want you to know that here at Harvest, we care about you. We're here for you. We want to continue to minister to you during this time. And I would like to also mention to you that we're doing special services every Sunday at our website, harvest.org, and we're simply calling it Harvest at Home. So you can log in and watch it, and we have multiple showings throughout the day, and then you can watch it again through the week. So tune in to harvest.org this Sunday and watch Harvest at Home. And do me a favor, let somebody else know that we're out there offering hope. Here's what we want to do at Harvest. We want to offer Christ in the midst of the crisis.
Yeah, we really do. And don't forget, more encouragement is available right now at harvest.org. Well, let's dig into today's study as Pastor Greg directs us right to our scripture text.
Let's grab our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And the title of my message is 2020 Vision. It's hard to believe it's actually 2020. I mean, doesn't that sound futuristic? I remember when I was a kid, I grew up watching that cartoon show called The Jetsons. And they all had these cool little spaceships. And I'm wondering, where's my spaceship? And I want to be the only one who has one so I can fly over all the traffic, right? Well, I haven't gotten the spaceship. You know, the last time our nation entered into the 20s, they were called the Roaring 20s. And that's because it was a time of excess and debauchery and sin. Wouldn't it be great as we go into the 20s now of the 21st century if they were called the Soaring 20s because we had a spiritual awakening and a revival in America, because that is what we really need. And by the way, that's the only hope for our country today. There's no political solution for the problems we're facing. And I think every Christian should register. Every Christian should vote. There's a place for that. But ultimately, our message is the gospel. And our solution is a spiritual one where the Lord intervenes and works in our lives. And so I'm praying that this will be a year where something changes. So I would like to draw a distinction between two words that are often used interchangeably. The words are revival and awakening. Our nation, non-believers, need a spiritual awakening. We've had four great awakenings in American history. One historian that's been studying the Jesus movement says, not only was it the last great spiritual awakening in America, but it may have been the greatest of all awakenings. And that's because of the impact it continues to have. Well, we're due for another one. I might even say a little bit overdue. Our nation needs an awakening where they see their need for Jesus. And so the church needs revival. Before there can be a spiritual awakening, first there must be a revival in the church, in our church. And before there can be revival in the church, there needs to be revival in you. Revival in you. Revival in you, in you, and in me. It starts with us, where we're revived, we're brought back to that original, passionate, spiritual state. And so, are you where you want to be as a Christian? Let me ask that, take a poll right now. How many of you are where you want to be spiritually? You feel you're at the best place you could be and you don't have any more growing left to do. Raise your hand up. Oh, I'm so glad no one raised their hand. Because there's always one guy and or girl or whoever. It's usually a guy. But the correct answer is to not raise your hand, because a growing believer will always see their need to continue to grow. And when you think you don't need to grow anymore, there's something not right. The Apostle Paul, after years of walking with the Lord, put it this way in Philippians 3, and I read from a modern translation. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, God will show you. God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. And then we'll get on the right track. I love that. I love this statement when he says, God will clear your blurred vision. Sometimes we can have blurred vision. I think we need 20/20 vision. 20/20 vision for the year. But 20/20 vision speaks of someone that has good eyesight. They see things with clarity. And we need that kind of vision, because the Bible says without a vision, the people will perish. And I've also found where you look is where you will walk. In other words, if I'm looking in this direction, this is the direction I'm walking. One does not generally look this way and walk. Well, sometimes they do. And they walk in the path of an oncoming car, walk into each other. More people actually are looking down at their cell phones. You notice that now? People out walking, looking at their phones, they walk into you. It's like, hello, should I have texted you and told you I was in your path? I mean, where you look is where you will walk. And also, what you think is what you will do. Let me say that again. Where you look is where you will walk. And what you think is what you will do. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. Experts tell us we have 90,000 to 100,000 thoughts every day. Can you imagine that? That's a lot of thoughts, isn't it? And why does that matter? Because what you think about is what you're going to end up doing. As it has been said, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. But it starts with what you think about. It starts with what you look at. And we need vision so we can see clearly where we are going. And that brings us to Hebrews 12, because we're going to look at it in just a moment. But the author of Hebrews 12 tells us we're running a race. And he tells us how to run the race. how to win the race, how to finish the race, and this is important. Now, how many of you like to get out and run? You're a runner. Raise up your hand. Okay, not many. This is not the athletic service. I'm not much of a runner myself. I used to be when I was a kid, but not anymore. It's so bad now, I don't even like to jog my memory. You see, it's... And the other day I was at the gym and I was stretching and bending and lifting. And that was just getting out of the car. But no, I go to the gym every day, because it's on my way to Krispy Kreme donuts. So it's easy. Now, these are jokes originated by my friend, comedian Scott Wood. I use them and he gets more laughs when he says them than when I do, okay? That's why I gave up my career in stand-up comedy, which I never had, by the way. But so I'm not naturally an athletic person, but in the spiritual race, we all must be athletic, if you will. We must all be very committed to this. So I'm going to read the passage before us, and then I want to pull out some points on how you can have 20/20 vision and how you can win in the race of life. Let's read Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, you might want to underline that word, therefore. We also, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I'll come back to that word endurance and talk about it. Looking unto Jesus, oh, I'd underline that too. That's the key. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We'll stop there. Let me ask you a question. Am I talking to somebody today that is weary and discouraged in their soul? Maybe as you look back, there was a major setback spiritually. Maybe you even fell in a significant way. Or maybe you find yourself discouraged or spiritually lethargic, and you need a jump start. You're thinking, how do I get back on track? How do I get into the race? What is the secret to running and winning the race of life? Well, I'll tell you what the motive is, and then I'll reveal some secrets or some hacks, if you will, in running this race well. The secret, and I'll loop back to this, is Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. The key is to look to him. And we'll return to that point in a moment. It's true. But I want you to look at what verse 1 says. Therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, you know, as I've said to you before, whenever you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for. And it's there because the author of Hebrews, I think probably Paul, was telling us, in light of what I've said, in light of what we just read in Hebrews 11, therefore, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 11 has been called the Hall of Faith. It's all the great men and women of God that persevered despite overwhelming circumstances and massive obstacles. They live their lives by faith. So in light of this great example of these men and women of God, they opposed Pharaoh and they passed through the Red Sea. They shouted down the walls of Jericho and they shut the mouths of lions. They both called down and walked through fire. So the author of Hebrews is saying, look, they did it. In light of that, you can do it as well.
Pastor Greg will present the second half of today's message in just a moment. Well, Pastor Greg, give us a nugget of encouragement to hang on to if our minds are drifting toward the issues we see around us right now.
Yes, I would say it's good to be up on the latest news on COVID-19, but don't spend all of your time watching the news or reading news feeds on your phone. You need to be thinking about what the Word of God says. Let me share a verse with you from Isaiah 43:2. This is the Lord himself speaking to us. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Listen to this, Christian friend. You are indestructible until God is done with you. He's going to get you through this, so look to Him, listen to Him, and I'm so glad that you've taken the time to tune into A New Beginning, and we have some more hopeful words for you now from the Word of God. Point number two, we need to run this race to win. We need to run this race to win. Verse two, let us run. Since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, great examples, let's run this race. Over in 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, remember, in a race, everyone runs. Only one person gets the prize. You must run in such a way that you will win. Now, that's not conventional wisdom, especially in sports for kids today. You know, my grandkids are in these little soccer leagues, so we'll go watch them play, and, you know, they want to say, everyone's a winner. No, they aren't. You know, you have to pick a winner. And we get this mentality, no, hey, you're a winner if you just showed up. No, you just showed up. You're not a winner. You're just alive, okay? To be a winner, you have to do what you do well. You have to discipline yourself. You have to apply yourself. And guess what? God says, I want you to win. God doesn't say, just get in there and do, you know, do whatever you can do. No, He says, I want you to win. Go for the gold. Go for the top prize. Because we're all called to do this and run this race. But listen to this. Point number three, to win the race of life, you need to run light. To win the race of life, you need to run light. Look at verse one. Let's lay aside every weight and this sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You don't want excess baggage in the race of life. And this is especially hard for me because I am the original pack rat. Any other pack rats out there? Raise your hand, pack rat. How many hoarders do we have? No, that's just the next level of pack rat, right? Hoarder, okay? I don't think I'm quite a hoarder, but I save everything. And it drives my wife crazy because she's like Miss Neatness. And when I travel, I always bring extra things. Like my wife will say to you, why do you bring all of those cords with you when we travel? Well, I have to plug my computer in. I have to charge my phone. Yeah, but you bring too many cords. Well, I like to have some extras. Then we arrive at our destination. She says, do you have any extra cords? I forgot mine. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. The problem is they're always a big giant knot. You know, I don't know why cords end up that way. They're neat when you put them in something and you pull them out and they're in this knot you can hardly unravel. But I carry extras of things. And sometimes that slows me down. That's why when I travel, all my things I carry on my suitcase, it's on wheels. Everything's on wheels. My wife is on wheels. I push her along, you know. She's on a dolly. I push her on a dolly. Hello, dolly. No, I don't do that. But anyway, cultural reference lost to most people. All right. But the idea is there something that slows you down? Now let me restate that. Is there someone that slows you down? You know, the Bible makes a statement that we should run this race. We should flee youthful lusts, it says, and follow after righteousness, faith, and peace, along with those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And I ask today, do you have some people that are actually slowing you down in the race of life? They're slowing you down in your Christian life. They're dragging you down spiritually. And my question is that a relationship you want to continue in? I mean, we want to influence people for the kingdom. But if they're influencing us with their non-belief or their skepticism or their bitterness or whatever else it is, that could be someone slowing me down in this race. The Bible tells us a story of Abraham in the book of Genesis. God said to Abraham, I want you to leave your country, leave your family, leave everything and follow me. Abraham says, okay, great. Where are we going? Lord says, I'll tell you when you get there. Now get moving. And Abraham did it. Amazing. And as he's on his journey, he did disobey the Lord in one area. He brought along his nephew Lot, who was not a godly man. Abraham walked with God, and you might say that Lot walked with Abraham. And Lot began to drag him down, and a conflict developed. And one day Abraham effectively said to Lot, look, buddy, we got a part company. You want to go that way, I'll go the other way. You make your choice and let's part company. And they did. And then the Lord began to speak to Abraham again after that. And sometimes there's people, a person in our life that may be toxic for us spiritually. And so we want to run light and we want to run with other people that love the Lord. And we want to run with joy. We want to run with joy. Paul talked about this in Acts 20:24. He says, I consider my life worth nothing. My only aim is to finish this race with joy and complete the task that Jesus has given me. Do you still have the joy in your Christian life? Do you look forward to opening the Word of God? Do you look forward to praying? Do you look forward to coming to church? Were you excited when you realized it's Sunday and we're going to church today? I hope you were, because that's a great attitude to come with. You know, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I hope you were glad. I hope you weren't sad. I hope you weren't mad, because it's a real privilege to be able to come and worship the Lord, all of us together. But look at the things in your life. Look at things that you do and ask yourself this question. Is this speeding me on my way? Or is this slowing me down? Is this building me up spiritually, or is it tearing me down? Or another way to look at it, is this thing a wing or is it a weight in the race of life? It's like different metabolisms. Notice that the author of Hebrews says, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you. What may be a weight to one may not necessarily be a weight to another. Years ago when I was a young preacher, after church, I would go and reward myself with food from a place called Noggles. Does anyone remember Noggles? They were good. That's the most excitement I've heard from you today, by the way. Talk to you about Jesus and all these exciting things. I said Noggles and you came alive, didn't you? Someone should start that restaurant up again. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not the only preacher that thinks this way. I'd be like 3/4 into my message, and I would say, when you're done, you're going to get a burrito. And that was exciting to me. You see, so I would go out after church, and I would order something called the Macho Combo Burrito. It was about the size of a sleeping bag. And I ate that thing, and I was full, and there were no issues. It was great. I couldn't even think of doing something like that today, especially late at night. If nothing else, I would have a serious case of acid reflux from it. So I've gone from acid rock to acid reflux. That's sad, isn't it? But then I know other people, they could eat 2 Macho Combo burritos and it would have no effect on them. I even think about one, I'll gain 5 pounds, right? So just because someone else can do it doesn't mean you necessarily should do it. So ask yourself, this thing in my life, is it a wing or is it a weight? To win the race of life, you need to run light.
Pastor Greg Laurie with great insight today on running to win in the race of life. And there's more insight to come here on A New Beginning as Pastor Greg continues his study called 2020 Vision. You can hear this insight again by going online to harvest.org. Stream the program while you're online or download an MP3 for later. Or call us for a copy on CD. Our number is 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. And again, the title is 2020 Vision. Well, Pastor Greg, we have a new edition of the Bible we're making available right now. It's called the New Believer's Bible, but really it's for every believer who wants some help getting the most from God's Word. And
yeah,
boy, we really need to get the most from God's Word right now, don't we?
Yeah, we really do, Dave. And you know, there's a lot of very comforting sections in the New Believer's Bible. I was just looking at it the other day. And a whole section on how the Christian is indestructible until God is done with them. Here's the deal. There's like reading tracks in the New Believer's Bible. You read one note and it takes you to a passage and I give you some commentary and some application. Then it takes you to another passage, then to another. So in a way, the title New Believer's Bible, Well, I don't want to say it's misleading, but it doesn't encompass everything this is. This is the Bible for everyone, filled with hundreds and hundreds of notes that will strengthen you in your faith, will bring encouragement to you. And listen, this is a great Bible to do devotions with your family. Mm-hmm. I know that's intimidating. Do a devotion with my family. Well, just turn to the New Believer's Bible. Get on one of these reading tracks where I go with a subject through the verses of Scripture, and you just read that, read the Scripture, and then talk about it as a family. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to get in the Word, and it's something that will help you a great deal. I really feel very strongly that every one of our listeners should get a copy of this brand new version of the New Believer's Bible, Old and New Testament, mm-hmm. into their hands and start using it. You will be blessed as a result, because nothing comforts us, nothing strengthens us, nothing stabilizes us like the Word of God. And listen to this. I'm going to give it to you for your gift of any size. That's how much I want you to have it. Mm. There's a considerable amount of cost in every one of these Bibles, but I want to send it to you for whatever you can send to us, because I want you to have it. But I'm going to ask you to be generous if you can be, and help to support us financially, because our objective here at A New Beginning is to bring light in the darkness. Mm. It's to bring Christ in the crisis. Mm-hmm. And we're collectively as a nation facing a crisis, and we need the Word of God like never before. Help me with that. Order your copy of the New Believer's Bible. Send what you can to support us financially, and I hope that it will be a blessing to you.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, it's the full Bible, both Old and New Testaments, with study helps for every believer, even though it's called the New Believer's Bible. In fact, if you request this new Bible right away, we'll include our resource called Start to Follow. It reinforces the seven lessons on the basics of the Christian faith, including why church is important, yeah, even online, for instance, at harvest.org, how to discover God's will, and how the Bible is our user's guide for life, especially in times like these. And we'll send you both of these new resources to thank you for your gift of any size. So get in touch right away and mention the New Believer's Bible. Write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. Easter is the most hopeful time of the year, and Pastor Greg Laurie points out the pathway to eternal life.
Jesus Christ came out of an empty tomb to fill our empty hearts.
Who do you know who needs hope this Easter season? Bring them to hear the good news. And Pastor Greg's special music guest, Matt Redman.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
You know, Easter is the perfect opportunity to bring someone to church that does not yet know the Lord. 82% of the unchurched are likely to attend church if a friend, coworker, neighbor, or family member invites them. But here's the big difference this year. We're going to do it all online. That's right. Easter is coming to you, to your house, to your tablet, to your phone, wherever you want to view it. Just go to harvest.org to find out more. Let's work together to reach the largest group of people we have ever been able to make contact with this coming Easter. It's Harvest Easter Online.
Well, next time, more insights from Pastor Greg about running our race for Christ and running to win. Join us next time here on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie.
This is the day when life begins.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.